Well, good morning. My name is Scott McDermott. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and we're so glad that you guys could join us for what we call Christmas Sunday. It's the Sunday before Christmas. Now, obviously, we'll have a special service here in a few days on Christmas Eve, which we hope that you guys will all join us for. We have a 3 p.m. stream service right here, but if you can't make the 3 p.m. service, there are services also at 5, 7, 9, and 11 p.m., so we're trying our best. To make sure that we can accommodate your Christmas schedule, and we hope that you'll choose one of those. And again, as the video said, to consider inviting someone to join you. This is one of those times of year where people often accept that invitation. Maybe they're looking for a church to go to on Christmas Eve, and we would love it if they could come to see UMC with you. And that would be a personal invitation to join you and your family on Christmas Eve. Well, we are doing this series. We've been in it now for, this is the fourth week, and it's kind of the official end of the series about carols, though next week I will tie in the song Silent Night, so it's kind of, sort of, part of the series, but this is the official end of the series, where each week we've looked at a carol, one of my favorite carols, and talked about what it means and how we can understand it from a biblical standpoint. And so today I picked O Come, O Come Emmanuel, which is a really interesting carol. But before we get to the history, which I know you're all just dying to hear about the history of O Come Emmanuel, last week, just for fun, I asked for a show of hands about who likes eggnog and who doesn't like eggnog, and I said that I don't like eggnog. Well, one of our members, I'm not naming names, but it was Natalie Ayler, put a really mean thing on the internet about eggnog, and I thought I would show it to all of you. Apparently, I've touched a nerve for all you eggnog drinkers out there. There are people who love eggnog and people with no soul who refuse to not to let love into their lives. So I thought that was hurtful, Natalie. Anyway, apparently you eggnog drinkers are, like, serious about your eggnog, and I promise never to say anything ever again about eggnog, except it's gross. So we are going to learn about O Come Emmanuel today. It's a really interesting carol. It's probably the most interesting of all the ones we've learned about because it is an ancient, ancient carol. And all the way back from somewhere between the 8th and 12th centuries. And it's one of those songs that has kind of evolved over the centuries, originally written in Latin, later translated into English, though the English title was Draw Nigh, Emmanuel. That was in 1851. We don't say Draw Nigh very often these days, and so it was changed again to O Come, Emmanuel, the way that we know it. But it really is an interesting song because it's from a period of time where the church was very different than it is today. And when people gathered for worship, as they did it differently than we do. And so this was during the time of chanting, and they would chant what they called these, I got to get the word right, antiphons. And antiphons were sayings often done on the spur of the moment where someone would start and then another person would add, and it would be biblically based, but in a chant style. And so if the song seems very slow and haunting, it's kind of meant to. This would not have been used with percussion or really any instruments at all other than just the vocals. And there was a period where they even did these things called the O antiphons, and someone would say O and then add to it. And so we understand this because we actually have a lot of those left over. Things like O Come Emmanuel, or O Holy Night, or what's the one? O Come All Ye Faithful. These are all relics from that period of time. And so O Come Emmanuel came from this ancient, ancient period of time. And it's clearly one of those hymns that stuck around for a while. It must be a deeply loved hymn. And I think it's deeply loved because of the passion that you can hear in the words. The passion that comes from people who are desperate in seeking after God. And when I hear the song, I hear that desperation. And I think back to ancient history, especially the ancient history of the people of Israel. And if you know the story of the Old Testament, very early on in the history of the people of Israel, they were in need of help. You know, if you go back to their time in Egypt when they were slaves, and they were crying out for God because their taskmasters were hard on them and their lives were bitter. they cried out for God, and God sent them a savior. He sent them Moses, and they were led out of Egypt into freedom, though very shortly after that, they would complain about that same freedom and being stuck in the desert. And once again, they would grumble and cry out for God. And that became a pattern in the life of the people of Israel, where different armies and different nations would take over or attack them. And they would cry out in desperation. It was the Babylonians one time. It was the Assyrians another time. And that leads all the way up to the time of Jesus, where it's the Romans that have come in and taken over the people of Israel. And they are not their own people. They are not free to live and to worship as they wish that they were. And they're constantly crying out for God to come. And you can hear that refrain of, oh, come, Emmanuel. Come, help us. Come, be with us. Come, we need you. And so there's that desperation that I think rings true for all people in all times. And I think we still do this. I think we still cry out for help. Now, maybe a little bit differently than the people of Israel did, but we still often say these same kinds of prayers because the word Emmanuel means God with us. And so we often pray that God would be with us. I call them the be with us prayers. And we pray these all kinds of times. Finals week was this past week at Carmel High School, and I imagine many of them prayed that Jesus would take the wheel. Was anybody here last week? No? Okay. Anyway. Jesus would take the wheel so they could pass their test. And I imagine when they prayed that prayer, God kind of responded back, well, you should have studied more. But they still were like, God, be with me. Help me with this math final. And you know, the Lord maybe answered or didn't. I don't know. But we also pray these when we're about to go on vacation. I know that when my family and I were pulling out of the driveway for that long road trip to Florida, and, you know, of course you pray things like, Lord, help us be safe, and Lord, help us have a great time away, and Lord, let me not kill my children when we're driving to Florida. You know, all those kinds of prayers. We pray those be with us prayers. Or how about the young couple that's about to get married, and we pray that God would be with them. Because, you know, we all know, those of us who are married, that what you think marriage is going to be on your wedding day is not necessarily what you get. It's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. There's going to be sickness. You know, we always, I think, focus on the in sickness and health, but there's going to be sickness. There's going to be hardships. And so we pray that God would be with them on that journey that they're about to take. Or how about in the hospital room? And I get to do a lot of hospital visits as part of the staff here at Carmel UMC. And I know that I always pray for the doctors and the nurses to take good care of them. And I always pray for God's healing hand. But I also pray that they would feel the presence of God. That they would know that they're not alone. That God is with them. That their church family is praying for them. That they know that someone is with them. That's what the word Emmanuel means. That God is with them in those moments, that they are not alone, because we often feel lost and alone. This has always been true, and it probably will always be true. And so we pray these same prayers, these be with us prayers. God, be with us. Well, the good news is, of course, and the story of Christmas, is that God answered those prayers. He answered them for the people that were in slavery in Egypt. They sent Moses. Now he sends his own son. So we're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 21. It says, this is an angel, by the way, speaking to Joseph in a dream. Joseph has decided not to marry Mary. I know that's confusing to say that, but I think that's good grammar. He's not going to marry Mary because she's pregnant. So an angel comes to him in a dream and says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the angel comes to Joseph to reassure him that this child is from God, not from anyone else, that he should take Mary as his wife, that this child will not be any normal child. This will be the Son of God himself, that will come to them and be Emmanuel. Now, if you notice that Emmanuel there is spelled with an I or an E, apparently it goes either way. So don't freak out, any of you spelling people, if you're, you know, planning for your next Scrabble game. Either way, you're good. This quote that the angel gives him is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, which was written approximately 740 years earlier. Now, Isaiah, of course, never meets Jesus. He lived long before Jesus. But the people of God wanted to know, would the Lord ever send us another Savior to help us through all of our hardships? And Isaiah says resoundingly, yes, God will answer these prayers. He will send help to us. In both chapter 7 and 9, Isaiah clearly tells us that this Messiah will come, that he will be our mighty God, that he will be our Prince of Peace, and that he will be our Emmanuel. And this is good news, and it gives hope to the people of Israel that God will answer their prayers, that he does hear them and he does care. But unfortunately, and this is often true of the Lord, he doesn't do it on their timetable. They wait 740 years, it turns out. From the time Isaiah writes these words down, they wait for God to answer their prayer. And he does. And he does it in a way that they probably couldn't have imagined. You see, they always kind of understood that God was with them. And he gave them examples throughout their history that he was with them. You know, back to the desert, they were led by day by a pillar of smoke. And at night, it was a pillar of fire. And it showed them where to go. That's pretty cool. This is way before GPS. But they knew where to go. Just follow the pillar. And clearly, they would have understood that God was with them. He was there in their presence, helping them, guiding them, leading them. So they knew that God was with them. But what God did in Bethlehem was so much more than they ever could have imagined. They knew God was with them in the way that we know that people are on our side. That God was kind of for them. He was cheering for them. He was helping them. They understood that. But God decided to be with them in a whole different way. To take on human flesh, to become one of us, this is an understanding of Emmanuel that they never could have fathomed. They knew God was with them, but they didn't ever think that God could be with them. And even though Isaiah told them that the virgin would give birth, maybe that was a metaphor, they didn't understand it. All of a sudden, it's real, and Jesus is here. And so we see the actions of the shepherds. You know, why would they leave their flocks and go to worship this child? It's because they understood that God had kept his promise and that the unthinkable had happened. So we know that God was with them in the past, and we know that God was with them in the person of Jesus. But I want to remind you that God will always be with us. I mean, when Jesus died and was resurrected, it's not like God ceased to be Emmanuel. Revelation tells us this in chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is, to come, the Almighty. What that means to me is God will always be with us. Alpha and Omega mean beginning and end. And everywhere in between, God is with us. So it's not just in the past where he was with the people of Israel. And it's not just in those brief 30-some years where Jesus walked the earth. He tells us he will always be with us. No matter what, he will always be with us at all times, in all places. And so the angel also brought good news to Mary. In Luke 1, we are told this. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, maybe Mary had an understanding of with you that none of us will ever have as she carried the baby Jesus within her womb. Granted, that's an extra with you. But I believe this applies to all of us, that God is with us. He's with us in different ways. Do you know that the Bible gives lots of names for God? Now, there's only kind of one official name. That's Yahweh. That's the name that he tells Moses, which means I am who I am, which is very Popeye-esque. But God gives many different names for himself throughout Scripture. And they're not names as in my name is Scott. They're more like titles. Like I am Father. I am Son. I am Pastor. I am all these things. These are my roles. These are my titles in life. And God has many, many, many titles throughout Scripture. And it gets a little confusing because you're like, does God even know what his own name is? But it's because he wants to explain to us more of who he is. So I picked a few of these, and I hope these will help you understand that God was trying to teach us, even from very long ago, what he meant when he said he would be our Emmanuel, that he would be with us. So for example, he tells us in Genesis 22 that he is Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And that's good news for people who are in need. That's good news, for example, for the homeless community right here in Indianapolis who are in need. And we get to be the answer to some of their prayers. If we're willing to donate, and then after Christmas we're going to be assembling these care packages for them, we get to help God be Yahweh Jireh, who provides for them in their time of need. And God, we believe, has always been Yahweh Jireh, that when people cry out to him and they are in need, that God answered those prayers. For physical needs, for emotional needs, for spiritual needs, that God provides. He is Yahweh Jireh. He is also Yahweh Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. And this is good news for people who are worried about their health. For those of you whose prayer requests right now, and I see those prayer requests that you put in the bulletin when you drop those cards, I see those. And it's amazing how many of them are for sickness. Whether it's in your family or a loved one, it's for sickness. And you tell me that your aunt has cancer, or you tell me that you're worried about your grandfather who's growing older and ill. And I pray for those. And I pray that God will continue to be Yahweh Rapha in the lives of those people, the Lord who heals. And we believe that he is. Or maybe it's just the simple term El Shaddai. El means God. Shaddai means Almighty. We are told that God is Almighty and that he is with us. So if an Almighty God is with us, that's good news. In fact, we believe that God is so Almighty that there is nothing that can stop him from being with us. Nothing. We are told in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we believe that God is El Shaddai, that he is God Almighty, and that there is nothing that can separate us from him being our Emmanuel, that he will be with us. Even our own sin cannot separate us from God because of the forgiveness that we are offered through Jesus Christ. That death itself has been defeated through Jesus' resurrection. And so nothing can separate us from God being our Emmanuel. That he is with us. He has been with us. And he will be with us. That is what we believe. That is the good news of Christmas. That God came, of course, to be with us physically as our Emmanuel. But I believe God has always been our Emmanuel, that he has always been with us. My only question for you today, if God is with you, are you with God? He's on your side. I very much believe that. I just don't know if you're on his. Are you on the same team that God's on? Are you doing the things that God cares about? Are you doing the work that he's given you to do? So we believe that God calls each of us into ministry, not just the people that stand up here on this stage, but each of us have a role that God has given us. That he has given you, if you are a believer in Christ, he's given you spiritual gifts, abilities that you can use to do his work. And that God has given us his Holy Spirit to give us the power that we need to do his work. And so my question for you is, are you doing it? And if you're not, that's okay, because there's still time. We can be on God's side. We can find where God is moving in the world or in our own hearts. And we can use the resources that we have been given, not for our own glory, but for his. See, God is Emmanuel. He will be Emmanuel. He has been Emmanuel. He is with you. I just don't know if I'm with him. And that's what I have to look in my own heart and find out. I want to end with a quote from the book of John. I think it's one of the most beautiful phrases in all of Scripture. John is eloquent. Luke is all about the facts and the facts only. Mark is in a hurry. He doesn't even bother to tell the Christmas story. Mark, he's in such a hurry. Matthew tells the male perspective. Okay, we only get the Joseph story from Matthew. John decides to go completely different and tell it with the poetry and beauty that only he can tell. He says this: "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." See, again, I thought God's always been with us. He's always been for us. And he always will be. I believe that for the rest of my life and the rest of yours and our children and our grandchildren, that he will be with us. But there was a moment in time, 2,000 years ago, in a little town called Bethlehem, where Emmanuel stopped being an idea and started being a person. Where Jesus took off his heavenly robes and put on earthly flesh and dwelt among us. It's the story of Christmas. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. It's the story that gets me up in the morning because there's work to do. This child that came to be with us, he didn't just stay a baby. He grew up. He taught us things, amazing things. He inspired us. He gave us an example to follow after. And he gave us a mission. At the end of his life, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And he promises us that he will give us the power through the Holy Spirit to do, it says, even greater things than he did. We just have to be willing to be on his side. God is with us. Are you with God? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this ancient song. The song that speaks to the longing that we all have when we feel lost or alone. When we feel that you have left us, God, we cry out, "Come, come, be with us." And yet we believe that you are. We believe that you were, and we believe that you will be with us, God. Help us to be with you. Help us to take the side of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to love our enemies, who taught us to forgive even when we don't want to, who taught us to care about the ones that no one else cares about, who taught us to turn the cheek, love no matter what, to give grace above all. Father, that's the team I want to be on. That's the team you've called me to be on, to give my life to you, to serve you, to love others through you. Lord, that is my prayer. Help me to be with you as you are with me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.